Monster Man, episode 497, Serpent Lord to Silat. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm taking a look at the monsters that I find in them, their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we are continuing our journey through the Arabian Nights-inspired fantasy of Al-Qadim. And we're going to take a look at three monsters from the Al-Qadim Monsters Compendium Appendix, but one of them we're not going to cover because we have already done it. And I have some news. As you may know, over the last several episodes, I've been getting frustrated by the fact that I'm unable to find the sources that provided the monster information for the Al-Qadim Monsters Compendium Appendix. And I think I have located one of the important ones. A helpful listener tipped me off to the publications of the Princeton Expedition to Abyssinia, which was definitely one of the big ones. But I think I've found another one. It's the source certainly for the Maski, and I think also probably for the Burak. And although, I mean, the Burak comes up in a lot of contexts, but I think that it is the book Fabled Cities, Princes, and Jinn from Arab Myths and Legends by Khairat al-Saleh with illustrations by Rashad Salim. And the publication date is right. It came out in the mid-80s. So, you know, it would have been pretty recent and presumably easy to get a hold of when Al-Qadim was being written. I think it's very likely that this was the source. And I'm gonna take a look at the text and, you know, see what other correspondences I can track down. But currently, that is my guess. I think that's very likely to be the case. So I'm very pleased. So first up in today's episode, we have the Serpent Lord. Now, the Serpent Lord is a little bit like the Sabu Lord in that it is a larger, more intelligent, magical version of a particular animal. But the Serpent Lord is much more magical. It's a giant snake with a human face and a kind and compassionate nature. It's a bit like a Naga, really. They are healers and sages, cave-dwelling wise hermits. Like Sabu lords, they can control other snakes in the vicinity, so they're dangerous creatures to mess with, not so much because they themselves are powerful, although they're not weak, but more because of their ability to summon backup. The wise serpent makes a lot of sense to me. Serpents are traditionally associated with wisdom in many cultures, so it makes sense that these sage healers could be snakes. Consider, if you will, the serpent on the rod of Asclepius, right? The symbol of the medical profession. Of course, this is another friendly monster, but again, I can see some objections to the relative lack of antagonists in the Al-Qadim Monsters Compendium Appendix. However, with a few exceptions, I can't fault any of the individual monsters, and this one is not one of those exceptions. I really like them. I think the idea of, in particular, like, imagine that the player characters are not told that the wise hermit, who is the only person who knows how to cure this terrible disease or whatever, is a snake. Everyone knows that this mysterious sage lives in a cave in the desert and never comes to the big city, and people just think it's because of that person's exceptional piety or humility or whatever, and no, actually it's because they're a huge cobra. That's fun. That's a fun idea. And certainly the idea of fetching up at a remote location and worrying that this giant snake is about to attack you, only to find out that it is a wise hermit, that's also pretty funny. So I think there's a lot of fun to be had with the Serpent Lord. It's not particularly a lord, but, you know, that's another matter. Next up, we have the Serpent, Winged. This is the same monster that is in the entry under Snake, Winged in the Monsters Manual. It even has the same illustration, just colorized. Never mind, eh? I'm pretty sure that that's not true for all. Next up, we have the Silat. This is a kind of shape-shifting hag. It has curly ram horns and sharp claws. It sort of resembles the Anis. You know, it sort of resembles a lot of the hag monsters from the Monster Manual and its sequels. This is an interesting example, I think, of either folkloric themes recurring in different monsters, or alternatively, the author taking features that exist in one monster and putting them on another because that's sort of the way D&D taxonomy works. So One of the ways in which the Silat is often identified by its mortal prey is that it doesn't completely transform. One of the things that we know about the Silat folklorically is that it has an invariable shape. So even though it attempts to conceal its appearance, some aspect of what it normally looks like peeks through. And the example that they give is that it's often they don't change the appearance of the feet. And that, of course, is something that we know is a traditional quality of ghouls, that they can shapeshift, but when they do, their feet remain their original shape. So something that we've seen in some other stories. But again, this is a pretty common motif in different monster folklore, the idea that the monster has a shape-changing power, but it's a little bit imperfect. There's something that the shapeshift can't quite do. Like Baba Yaga, or other, really like a lot of folkloric hags, the Silat spare the respectful. I say Silat, the plural is Sa'ali in Arabic. I'm probably mispronouncing that, and I apologize. But anyway, they spare the respectful and punish the boastful. So if people come along and meet, you know, as they think, like an old beggar woman, and then they're kind to her, and not just kind, but respectful, then the Silat will spare them. And if not, then they may be punished. So they are monsters, but they're monsters who, narratively speaking, attack people who, you know, are just getting their comeuppance. The Sila or Silat is a hag in Arabic, and that's basically just what the name means, or like evil spirit of invariable form. They're a kind of jinn, and the sort of recurring element of their story is this inability to completely shapeshift. There is a legend that says that some people are Banu Silat. So Banu means children of, right? Or like descendants of, and you'll often hear it applied to like a particular clan, right? So some clan or tribe will be called the Banu so-and-so, which just means like they're the descendants of so-and-so. So there are humans living among us who are the offspring of a union between a mortal and a Silat. Not in Al-Qadim, it says that, you know, they are all female and they have children with ogre magi, who I guess are all male. And if the child is male, then it's an ogre mage. And if the child is female, then it's a Silat, which, whatever. One of the things that the Al-Qadim book has done a pretty good job of doing is not really getting too much into this kind of pseudo-naturalistic ecology stuff. And I think this is one of the many good examples of why that's a good idea. But so the Silat is a perfectly fine monster. It, again, is not that different in some ways from the, you know, the AD&D hag, which is kind of like its European folkloric counterpart. It's got some elements that we've seen elsewhere in folklore about other shapeshifters. But again, these are pretty common folkloric motifs. I really like the thing of being respectful. That feels very fairy tale-y, the idea that, you know, you never know if the old person you meet by the side of the road is actually some kind of magical creature in disguise. And so therefore, plucky orphan girls and poor tailor's lazy sons who are kind and humble and, you know, call the old lady grandmother and are nice to her, they wind up getting a sweet, and then bullies wind up getting punished. And I think that that's, again, through these monsters, we're kind of getting a picture of the Al-Qadim world and how it's not just D&D with curly shoes. Now, I wonder if I looked at a bunch of Al-Qadim scenarios, would they just be D&D with curly shoes? That's a possibility. All right, that is about all the monsters that we have time for today. In our next episode, we are continuing our journey through the Al-Qadim Monsters Compendium Appendix, and we're getting pretty close to the end. So I hope that you will join me next time as we talk about the Simurgh and the Stone Maidens, right here on Monster Man. A show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you've got a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, why not get in touch? I'm on Twitter as @GonzoHistory, on Mastodon as GonzoHistory@dice.camp, or you can find me on Instagram at MonsterManGonzo, or drop me an email, GonzoHistory@gmail.com. Our theme music is an extract from Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster and is used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Our cover art is by Ray Otis. Thanks for listening, and please join me next time for Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great.